Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Friday, July 12th, 2019. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, it's Friday at McDonald's. Get some free fries.
Oh, yeah. If you use Apple Pay, right?
Yep.
Yeah, not just if they're handing them out. So this will go nicely with yesterday's Slurpee, right? We're helping you hook up with the junk food here at TDO. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hello. It's so nice to be here with you today.
Excellent. Brian's here to tell you that you look thin, you never eat. That's why we're making sure.
Don't call me. I'm sure you're busy. I'll be fine. Don't worry about me at all. I mean, you know, Mr. Big Shot, with all your big success. Don't worry about me.
Okay. There you have it. The first thing I wanted to talk about today was a topic that both of you are interested in, and that is the AR glasses that we have heard so much about.
Well, we haven't heard a rumored project
that now we're hearing is no longer a project.
We've never actually gotten lots of details on what Apple may or may not be doing with these, but the rumor has been that they have an AR glasses team. And then that sometimes gets conflated into VR glasses, VR glasses team, and that's probably not the case and probably never was the case. But the rumor now is that Apple has disbanded the team.
Okay.
Yeah. Right, Andrew?
Yeah, it was a report from Digitimes. Now, there's been some going back and forth on it because they don't have a good track record when it comes to stuff like this. But basically, they're saying...
Whoa. Digitimes has an excellent record for the last several years now. Once upon a time, they had a terrible record. But they now have a pretty solid track record for reports coming out of Apple's supply chain. They're certainly more right than mean chiquo.
Right.
So anyway, that's
who is saying the opposite, by the way.
This is, yeah, I know. So this puts me in the interesting, this is going to end up putting me in the interesting position of actually defending Minchi Kuo and attacking Digitimes. But I don't want the basis of the attack on Digitimes to be that they have a spotty, mixed, or anything else track record. Their track record has been really solid for a long time now.
Oh, okay. But yeah, they're just saying that Apple ran into some problems with the device, like the optical design is still not enough to give people a wide enough field of view to integrate the AR images with your vision. It also says that Apple, it sounds like maybe the hardware is a bit too expensive also, and that Apple can't get it down to where, to the price point that maybe they want it to be for consumers. So,
and these are probably certainly ongoing issues with Apple and this particular project. Here's my problem. Here's where I start getting iffy on the idea of Apple canceling these things. Apple is investing billions in ARKit, and Apple is busily making iOS the premier augmented reality platform. And my longstanding position is that the idea of us walking around with our iPhones held in front of our face is stupid, absurd, obscene, and ridiculous. It's no way to live. It's not, there's no, like when one of the guiding reasons for developing Apple Watch was to get our faces out of our iPhones. Right. And according to Apple people, that was, in fact, one of the reasons why Apple developed Apple Watch was to get our faces out of our iPhones. When the company is doing that sort of thing, there is no way that they can possibly be satisfied with everybody walking around with their iPhones held in front of their face. It's so ridiculous. It's like, it's just not a good experience. It's mm-hmm. cool from like AR is cool, but until it can just be resting on the end of our nose or be projected from some sort of brain implant, it's not particularly useful, and it's not a particularly good way for society to be. Like everybody walking down the street playing Harry Potter Wizards Unite with their phones held in front of their faces is just a stupid world.
So my takeaway from this is that I think everybody's a little bit right and everybody's a little bit wrong. I'm not convinced that it was killed. I wonder if killing the project, if the nugget about killing the project came out of like something that got delayed indefinitely. Right, like they took away a release date, which isn't the same as killing it, but like they're not trying to hit a deadline anymore because they've got these other things to think about, like cost and, you know, interface and, you know, manufacturing reliably at any kind of scale, making sure it's something that people can afford, making sure that it is a good experience for everybody. So it's not the experience Brian just described. And I wonder if something like there is no longer a scheduled ship date got interpreted as killed when in fact it's just we chucked it out the window and we're rebuilding from the ground up or something, or taking a completely new approach. So we don't have a release date anymore that we're even pretending we're going to hit because we just want to make sure we get it right.
Or maybe Apple has disbanded this particular team and has a different team.
Mm-hmm.
Or is you know, reassigning people within the team, or maybe they fired some parts of the team because they weren't working out, et cetera. Like, you know, DigiTimes has been covering Western electronic company supply chain in Asia for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And what usually happens is that there is almost always a kernel of truth in their leaked stories and where DigiTimes runs into problems, because they're not right all the time, but where they run into problems is when they reach conclusions that, you know, based on the evidence at hand, that is, you know, like those conclusions are don't have a big enough picture into the complete world.
Right.
So there may well be problems with this project. There may well be problems with this project. I just cannot believe that Apple is like giving up on AR glasses. That makes no logical sense considering the investment in AR that mm-hmm. they are making.
Absolutely. That's why I think maybe their conclusion was that it got killed, but in reality, it's something else that happened, and they decided that meant the project was dead, and not just, you know, we're completely rebuilding or doing, you know, like you said. So I think they're still working on something. Maybe it's not glasses. I don't know. It's entirely possible that it will continue to be glasses, but maybe it's going to be something else. Maybe it's just a little thing that hangs off your ear and attaches to your AirPod. Like, who knows? We're not sure yet. But like you said, Brian, like, you know, when you look at the last few years of Apple public events, there's AR in almost all of them in one form or another. I mean, look how much time they spent this year on the Minecraft world, Minecraft Earth stuff mm-hmm. that we saw the live demo of for several minutes during the dub keynote. And, you know, we saw the Lego stuff last time, and we've seen a fair number of these where they keep showing off what it is, how it works, giving everybody the opportunity to check out this capability. Super popular games that include it, so it's being introduced to people, so it's not a weird thing. You know, oh, that's the thing I do when I play Wizards Unite or Pokemon Go or Ingress or any of these other games. But, you know, now I can use it for this other purpose, you know, whatever that might be. So I think, like you said, Brian, given the way that Apple has continued to invest and make a big deal about investing in ARKit and AR in general, I don't think this is going away. So that's why I think there's a little bit in everyone's report that's right and a little bit that's wrong. Because I think there's something in between that's happening that we just haven't seen. And we may never find out what that is. And we may never know anything about it until they come out on stage and tell us what it looks like. I mean, maybe Johnny Ive left and they've decided to redesign everything anyway. We don't know. We may never find out. So we'll have to see more on this story as it develops. I know both of you are pretty interested in making this reality, because especially I don't know if you could tell, listeners, but Brian feels pretty strongly about everybody walking around with their heads in their phones. So I know he's
worse.
Definitely looking forward to it.
Their phone's held up in the air. It's even worse.
Oh yeah, that is worse.
Way worse. Because it's stupid. It's a stupid way to. It's like, you know, you go to a concert and like everybody's watching the concert through the film that they're making. I'm sorry, I'm old. The video that they're making on their phones. Like, how is that any way to experience a concert? Live! Look around you. Same thing. I was at the Niagara Falls, and like everybody's like watching the falls through their phones. Guess what? It's way cooler in life, and you're like right there. So, like augmenting, get it? See, this problem by bringing augmented reality to reality. See what I did there? And then like having more people walking around with the phones in front of their face. Stupid. There's no way Apple's going to settle for this. There's just no way.
No, I'm with you on that. So when we find out a little bit more about what shape that takes, we will absolutely bring it to you. In the meantime, we have a little bit of a potpourri, I guess, of HomeKit updates. There's a few things happening there. IKEA is one of the really affordable sources for HomeKit stuff. They had some smart blinds that were going to launch, I believe, in April. And it sounds like the new announcement, there's been some sort of delay, and they're coming in October. And the expensive smart home, you know, you can run them with your phone blinds, are $136, which is super duper affordable if you've ever tried to look at smart blinds, which I have, and they're not cheap. So that's one thing to maybe look at. And another is there's a GE has announced a wall unit that, or a window unit, excuse me, air conditioner that you can run with your phone. And IKEA's got more smart light bulbs available. So this is going to be some interesting stuff. Brian, are you in the market for an AC unit?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I do have wall AC units, window AC units. And the one I have in the front of my house definitely struggles. So I'm going to look into it. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't have a good place for a window unit, so I'm looking at possibly like a smart outlet or something for the AC unit that I have. But the lights have a certain amount of appeal because IKEA's HomeKit compatible light bulbs are a lot cheaper than some of the other options. They have some that are color temperature. So like when you go buy light bulbs, there's warm white and there's cool white. And they have a white set that has three different color temperatures. So you get something in between, and the warm white and the cool white. So if there's one that you prefer, you can switch in between them. And the bulb, the A19, which is sort of a standard size bulb, is $15.99, which is a lot less than some of the other options available. And their starter kit, which has a gateway and a remote and two bulbs, is $70. And for $80, you can get two brighter bulbs. So they've got some interesting stuff out now that, and they've had other bulbs that have been available that you can get and run with HomeKit and tell S-Lady what to do with them. And all of that works really well.
I've been using Sylvania's. What is the Sylvania HomeKit called? It's got a special name. It's smart.
I want to call it LightSense, and I don't think that's it.
Nope, it's Smart Plus.
Smart Plus.
Okay. Yeah, I've been using those for in my current place for 13 months, and mm-hmm. About 6 months before that in another place, and I have been pleased with them, and they are also a lot cheaper than the Hue bulbs.
Yeah. Hue bulbs, now to be fair, Hue bulbs are great. Hue bulbs are not cheap.
Right. Yeah, they're good quality bulbs. They're definitely doing some good things. I think the Sylvania Smart Plus are certainly a fine way to go. I haven't tested the IKEA stuff yet. Have you?
I have not. I did snag one of their wireless chargers because they also have a stack of wireless charging things that they've put out. And one of the bonuses of their wireless chargers, they're all Qi chargers. And one of the bonuses of theirs is that they also sell like some side tables and things that have like an indentation. So you can sort of like lift out a little piece of the table and put this there. And then like you've got wireless charging as part of your furniture, which is pretty cool. I just picked up a charger and it's a really boring review. Like every time I set my phone on it, it charges. It's pretty great. It doesn't get really hot. It doesn't make a weird noise. It doesn't light up some weird color or anything. So whenever I want it, it just works. It's pretty great. I have not tried their bulbs yet. Partly because at one point, Mr. Kelly got Hue bulbs for over the course of some months in all the places that he wanted them. And we have a couple of A-Lady units. There's an Echo base, and he just turns everything on and off that way. So I haven't had an opportunity to literally buy another light bulb basically since then. So I haven't, but we do have one set of the Sylvania as landscape lighting out in our front yard, and putting them in was nice, and getting them hooked up to the automation that we have for the landscape lighting actually was a piece of cake. So that was pretty nice. I have very limited Sylvania brand lighting experience, but what I had is that it went really smoothly, and it was pretty nice. So I'm interested to see how the light, there's light panels as well from IKEA. Those seem kind of interesting. And mostly I'm looking forward to the blinds, because when I've looked at blinds, they've been cost prohibitive. Like I can buy dumb blinds for my whole house, or I can buy smart blinds for one window kind of price gaps. And so I don't have any yet. So I'm kind of looking forward to the IKEA ones, because I want to find out if it's something I can hook up where it will just figure out, or I can tell it, you know, at a certain time every day, just close these, something like that. Andrew, would you be interested in smart blinds?
You know, I tend to stay away from smart home devices just because I'm afraid that either one, it will collect and eventually leak certain data about me, or B, it will be insecure and get hacked by someone. Like I'll just wake up one day and my smart coffee maker will be a part of this DDoS botnet.
Yeah, and you never know.
This is valid.
That is one of the problems with the HomeKit. With a lot of the smart home stuff, and it's also why I stick with HomeKit. Mm-hmm. Apple doesn't seem to have made this more secure than other companies.
Yeah, and they did mention at the keynote HomeKit enabled routers, which would I think be able to block some of that. So that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. I think, yeah, something that allows you to manage your network and can put another layer of security between the stuff in your house and the stuff outside your house would be nice. And part of why I personally would look forward to that is because I want something that will do it for me. Because right now I'm having to do that stuff by hand, and I don't like being a network administrator. That's why it's not my job. And I still kind of have to be one for all the stuff that I have hooked up to my network, and I don't want to do that. So if I can have a router that will just manage all that for me so I don't have to go dig into settings and configure a bunch of stuff by hand, I would really be excited about that. It would be a lot less nonsense I have to go through on my end whenever I hook something new onto the network, or try to figure out why my network got really slow or why something weird is happening. That's always kind of my first reaction, is you know, one of the light bulbs got hacked or something. Now I have to figure out, you know, where it all went wrong. So one thing that I have noticed is that a lot of the smart home stuff I have doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of technology in it itself. It's more the hubs you have to worry about. So, like, I don't think my light bulbs are ever going to be part of a botnet, but it's maybe the hub will be. Like, the smart home hub might be the hub or the bridge or the brain or whatever they call it, you know, depending on what set of stuff you bought. Like, that might be the problem. So, that was, in fact, one of the reasons, like, you know, Brian mentioned security. That's one of the reasons there was an announcement about HomeKit, and then we didn't see any HomeKit devices for a long time, is because Apple had some pretty stringent requirements security-wise for what was going to be HomeKit certified, and it took a really long time for the stuff that wanted to be certified to get there and meet those standards, which is why it was so hard to get a lot of stuff at first. And now there's quite a bit of it, and that's actually really nice, which is part of why I wanted to talk about it today, was to remind people that is out there, and it's stuff that you can use. And particularly, a lot of stuff that's HomeKit compatible is also compatible with other stuff. So if maybe you don't want to use the assistant in your iPhone to boss things around, or the assistant in your HomePod to boss things around, they do have Echo based sorts of things. You know, if Amazon's your jam, a lot of them are compatible with that as well, or with the Google Assistant. You can, a lot of stuff that's HomeKit compatible is usually compatible with more than one other thing. So a lot of those things are pretty flexible, which makes it nice to be able to put one in. So if you've got some, particularly if you've got any of the IKEA equipment, I would definitely like to hear about it. I think Brian probably would too. We'd like to know your experience. Was it great? Was it terrible? Do you find that the lights are actually nice to use? Some light bulbs, like the color on them's terrible and they're not great. We went through a few iterations, I think, of LED bulbs before the hues actually came out, and we were able to find that, you know, when they have all kinds of color options, you can find a shade that you like that isn't terrible for whatever room you're trying to use them in. We want to hear about your smart home experiences. If you have any of the other IKEA stuff, let's hear about that too. You can get us at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I want to thank both of you for being here today. Brian, thanks so much for coming by.
Indeed. Thanks for having us. Always good to be here.
And Andrew, thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Thanks. I'm glad to be here, Kelly.
I'm going to assume. Andrew's really happy to be here as well. He just started his weekend.
Sound cut out for a second.
Andrew just started his weekend early. It's fine.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here to tell us about the AR glasses. And I will talk to all of you on Monday. I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. Have an awesome weekend. And in the meantime, be excellent to each other. I will talk to you on Monday.